today is found in the 9th chapter of the book of Exodus. We left off speaking to you last week about a grievous murrain that came down upon all the cattle that were in Egypt, and that all the cattle in Egypt died. Today our first plague is how that God likewise visited these people with a terrible plague of boils. The Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to take ashes out of the furnace and to go unto Pharaoh and before Pharaoh to sprinkle these ashes into the air. And these ashes would become a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. The people of Israel, they were in servitude in Egypt, and they were made by the Egyptians to make brick. They worked in furnaces. I think in one text, God said that he brought them out of the iron furnace of Egypt. The people then worked in furnaces which were heated and which likewise are called kilns, where they made these bricks. And now God brought this plague upon the Egyptians to show them how that they had been so mean and so cruel to the Israelites in these furnaces that out of these very furnaces, these men, Aaron and Moses, took the ashes and sprinkled them into the heavens. And when they sprinkled them into the heavens, they were scattered in the air, and the air became a burning, scalding blotch upon the Egyptians. They were smitten then upon their bodies. Before this, they had been smitten with different plagues, but they had not touched their bodies. But now God touched them to the quick. And the air came down, wherever it did, it smote them with this burning blotch upon their bodies. All the Egyptians and all the beasts were smitten with this terrible infection. I never had a boil myself, but I have seen them many times upon people, and they look very painful. The commentary says it's not something that a person would die from, but it is something that is terrible to have. And now we read of Job that he likewise was covered with boils, and he took a potsherd and he scraped himself. The Egyptians were smitten with inflammation, terrible blotches all over their body, and they were in very agony and pain due to these things that had come down upon them. The God then visited them as they had visited the Israelites, and they felt the terror of God upon them in this respect. The Egyptians then, they were walking around with a lot of pain and agony upon their bodies. This was an awful plague that brought them probably to many a physician to have their boils treated with. But they were boils that they never had seen before the like of it, for it was God that had brought this upon them. And now the Lord likewise was punishing this man, Pharaoh. He had servants that were just like him, and there were magicians that had stood before Moses and Aaron and had attempted likewise several times to do what Moses and Aaron did. But now we read the magicians, they could not stand before Moses because they likewise had boils upon them. how awful this must have been to these magicians. They were honored, they were looked up to and respected because of their enchantments, but they could in no way take these boils from off themselves. They were then put to shame in the front of their admirers. They likewise were full of boils. All this terrible plague lasted a considerable time, probably, upon these people. A boil just doesn't go away in a little while. If some of you have had them, you know I'm speaking the truth. God then, in this respect, visited this land. Oh, this man, Pharaoh, he would not let the children of Israel go. They had demanded of him that they wanted to go out 3 days into the wilderness and serve their God, but he would not allow this. And now we read distinctly, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This is the first time you read this. Before this, he had hardened his heart himself. He would not listen. He would not give in. He was stubborn. He was obstinate. And he was rebellion against God in heaven. And now, due to his perverseness and due to his obstinacy, that God, it says, hardened his heart. I wish you to understand that God did not, with any power of his, make the heart of Pharaoh hard. God is not the author of evil and does never tempt anyone. But it was in the providence of God that he had raised up this man, Pharaoh. For this reason have I raised thee up, it says. And now God, in his providence, left this man to himself. He became then a person that was of a reprobate mind. He was given over unto his lust, unto that terrible nature that every one of us have. And he was given into the hands of Satan. And he, in this respect, was left of God. He was told by Moses that he was doomed to be damned. God was going to send all his plagues upon his heart. Hitherto, God had sent the plagues upon the people and upon Pharaoh himself, but God was going to send all his plagues upon his heart. It's a terrible thing when God sends a plague upon our heart. He makes our hearts unfeeling, he makes them senseless, and he makes them that we have no fear whatsoever of God. Pharaoh was left over to himself in this respect. We read in the Bible, and every one of us have this, of a stony heart. This is what you and I come into the world with. And this is what every one of us have, unless God has, in his infinite mercy, given us a new heart, given us a broken heart, a soft heart, which is the opposite from a stony heart. This stony heart was left in Pharaoh, and God left him in it. God could justly let us, every one of us, over to our stony heart. And if we are left, we would not be any different than Pharaoh. We would be the subject of the devil. We would be enmity against God, rebellion against him. We would have mean and terrible thoughts of our Creator and our heavenly benefactor. Oh, it's a blessing that God has not left us over to ourselves. He could justly do this, righteously do this, For we are not one bit better than Pharaoh when it comes to our hearts. Oh, I would say to my dear Bible class, pray that God may give you a new heart. I'm sure as parents, that's the first little prayer you teach your children, and probably you never pray it yourself, forgetful of your own heart, that you need a new heart. And it is only God that can give you a new heart. Pray to him that he may give you a heart of flesh, a heart that loves his will from discontent and envy free, a heart that has his law written upon it as he has said that he will give. He will take the stony heart out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh, and he will write his laws upon the tables of our heart. He has to do this, my hearers. And oh, I would beseech you to fall down before him and pray to him that he may give you such a heart, and that you may not be left over to yourselves and in the hands of Satan, so that he may likewise reign in you and subdue your iniquities, and that you may be given to walk in his ways. What a blessing when this takes place in our life, my hearers. Only God can do this unto us. He has our hearts in his hand, and he left Pharaoh to the hardness of his heart. Pharaoh then remained, even to the day he died, an obstinate and a stubborn and a rebellious man. He was an awful character for Moses to deal with. And Moses was told to go to him and speak to him concerning what God was going to do to him, that he was going to send all his plagues upon his heart, and that he was going to bring a pestilence upon him, and that he was going to smite him so that he would be cast away forever and ever. Moses had spoken to him 6 times, all in vain. And this was the 7th time that Moses came to him with the message from God. It must have been not a very pleasant duty for Moses to have someone like that to deal with, who would not listen, would not obey. He saw no results of the messages that God gave him to speak to this man. And now God likewise spoke unto Aaron and unto Moses, so that they should perform this, and this blotch, this boil, came down upon these people. The commentary writes about the Egyptians that they had 4 cities, and they named them, their odd names, I wouldn't try to pronounce them, but in these cities at certain times, they sacrificed men. They had altars built very high, and they took men and offered them upon these altars. The particular kind of men that they took were of a very bright hair person, and likewise had a complexion as no Egyptians had. They probably were foreigners. They were not Egyptians. The commentary says they took sometimes, probably, the Israelites, for they were entirely different than the Egyptians, and they offered them up on these altars. They burned them alive. And after they had burned them alive, the priest that offered these men up went and took the ashes of these people that they had burned, and they spread them in the air, believing that wherever an atom of this dust fell, there a blessing would be. How different was what God had commanded Moses to do. He'd done the very same thing with the ashes of the furnace, but God came down with a curse, with a plague upon the people of Egypt. And now God commanded Aaron and Moses again to go unto Pharaoh and speak unto him and tell him that he should let God's people go. For if he did not let them go, then the Lord was going to bring upon the people of Egypt a very terrible hailstorm. A hailstorm which they never had had as long as Egypt had been built upon a foundation until that very day. This hailstorm then was threatened because he would not let the children of Israel go to sacrifice unto their God. And we find that the next day at that time, Moses was commanded to put his rod towards the heaven, and when he done this, then there came a terrible hailstorm mixed with thunder and fire. But this was something that never took place in the land of Egypt. They never saw a cloud. They never had any rain in the land of Egypt. The river Nile overflowed its banks at periods of the year, and from the river Nile there came such dews which moistened the ground and made it fertile so that things grew. They never had any rain, and they never had any hail. They never saw a cloud. It's remarkable. And now God was going to send a hailstorm with thunder and with fire. You can imagine when these people saw this terrible thick cloud, dark, black, they didn't know what it was. They had never seen anything like that. It was incredible unto them that they had rain or that they had hail. But this was the plague that God brought upon them. And when it came upon these people in Egypt, it must have been terrible for them to see the lightning, to hear the thunder, and to have these terrible hailstones come down upon them. Now, before God brought this upon them, he gave them a warning. And he said unto them that at this appointed hour this storm would come, and that they should take their cattle and their servants who were laboring in the field and bring them into their houses. For all that were in the field, the men and the cattle, if they remained there, they would die. How merciful God is, even in his judgments. For here he let them know the day before what was going to take place. And now those that feared the word of the Lord, they hastened to bring their cattle into their houses with their servants. But they that paid no regard to the word of God left their cattle and their servants on the field. Seeing this, my dear hearers, how gracious and merciful God is. He was so to the Israelites in that part of Egypt in Goshen, for they had no boils and they had no hail. But likewise merciful even to the Egyptians, to some of them, to those that paid a regard to the word of God that was brought to them. We see in this that there were some Egyptians even amongst the servants of Pharaoh, probably that feared God. In this, we have a type, my hearers, of the gospel. God is proclaiming to each and every one of us, in and through the medium of his precious word, that he has set a time that he will judge this world in righteousness, and that he will visit this world with his dreadful wrath and anger and destroy it. And he likewise has given unto us that glorious message that in Christ Jesus there is a way for impenitent sinners to escape this terrible storm which is to come down upon us. See in this the mercy of God towards humanity throughout the great universe which he hath created. Those people in Egypt, they had respected this word, and they done as they were commanded to do. The others who remained on the field and who died had no one to blame but themselves. So in that great day, the message, the warning, has come to you, my hearers, and you are to take heed to the warning that flows from the Word of God to you. Oh, may you, as my Bible class, pay strict attention to the warning that God is sending unto you. May I not say to you, flee, flee from the wrath which is to come? May I not say to you, harden not your heart, as Pharaoh did and as the Israelites did in the wilderness? For whoever hardened their heart and prospered? Oh, my dear hearers, God has given unto us this glorious message. And has it ever had any effect upon you? Have you remained impenitent as it went in one ear and out the other and never went down into your heart? Has it never brought you upon your knees seeking God that you may be spared in that great day of accounts? There is a way of escape. God is merciful and gracious. He has no delight in your death and your destruction, but therein that you turn and live. This is his word, not mine. Turn ye, he says, for wherefore will ye die? You believe him? Have you ever fell on your knees with that word and said, Lord, you say to me, turn, turn. I can't turn. I'm a poor sinner. I'm unable to turn, unwilling to return to thee. Wilt thou not turn me? Oh, I would put prayer into your minds and into your heart if I could. Honestly, with all the love that I have in my soul at this present time, I would wish that every one of you would run to this God and be found in Christ Jesus in that great day of account. For it is in him that we are safe for time and eternity. He bore the wrath. He bore the anger. He bore the curse. He bore the punishment which you and I deserve in his body on the tree. Oh, seek an interest in this Jesus, and you shall be safe for time and eternity. For the people in Goshen, they were Jews. They were the Lord's people. Outwardly, but they were spared from these judgments. So God, in his infinite mercy, will have a remnant in that great day of accounts who shall likewise be spared from that terrible wrath and anger that shall come down upon all those that are outside of Christ. All these Jewish people in Goshen, they were in this respect living in a peaceful state while all around them the judgments of God were coming down upon the Egyptians. So even in the times in which we live, it pleases God many times that some of his dear people who have found peace with him are in such a glorious state of soul that irrespective of what is going on round about them and how God is visiting others, they may look up unto his reconciled face and enjoy peace in their very bosoms. Oh, if you may find this peace in this life, why, you are safe for time and eternity. If you have God as your protector, then you have a protector through this world that will always be with you, be round about you. He will never leave nor forsake his dear children. These children of the Jews, they were in this respect an exception in the land of Egypt. And God made this so clear to Pharaoh. This storm that came down upon the Egyptians was an awful storm. They never had seen hail before. They never had seen lightning. And the lightning came down on the ground, the scripture says. It run along the ground, the fire run along the ground. How terrible this must have been to these people to see something like this. And then the mighty thunderbolts that God sent was awful, terrible. The noise of them, how it must have frightened them and scared them. Excuse me a minute. We know when we were children, when we had lightning and thunderstorms, then we were frightened too. We take particular notice even of animals. When storms of lightning and thunder come, they shelter underneath a tree for safety. So likewise, when we were young, I remember so, my mother would call us all inside. We'd all be inside of the room. She commanded us to get down on our knees and pray to this God who was revealing his majesty and his glory in the storm, so that he wouldn't strike us, for we justly deserved it. You may imagine what was going on in the land of Egypt when this took place. Why, even Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened, he became affrighted. He became so scared that he sent for Moses and Aaron. And they came, and he said unto them, I have sinned, he says, for I and my people have done wickedly, and God is righteous. Oh, entreat for us that he may take away the thunder and the hail and the lightning. Take particular notice. Here is hardened Pharaoh, frightened into asking that the servants of God would pray for him and for his people. What more could you wish for in this, what this man says? I have sinned, he says, and I and my people have done wickedly, and God is righteous. This is all that's necessary, my dear hearers. But he did not do this from the Spirit of God coming into his heart and showing him his sinnership. He did it out of fear and anguish from what he saw of the majesty of God in the storm that was round about them. Therefore, he wished that Moses would entreat God for them. Oh, this Pharaoh is a type of so many poor sinners. especially if not in a storm, sometimes many things seem to be against them. Many times God visits with afflictions, with bereavements, and sometimes afflicts the body of persons in a tremendous way. And they likewise, they call on those that know how to pray for them. They entreat even of the servants of God and those that are children of His to pray for them. They wish to be delivered from their bodily ailments, from what God has laid upon them. And it pleases God many times to hear the prayers of His saints and to deliver such creatures out of their misery. And when they are in this state, they make many vows, many resolutions. If the Lord spares me, if He makes me well again, gives me my health back, I'll live for Him. I'll turn away from sin. Probably some of you have made this resolution. And what became of it? God raised you up. God gave you health and strength again. And what did you do? You did like Pharaoh. Just as soon as Moses went out of the city and prayed to God that He would take this hail away and the thunder and the lightning, and it subsided, then Pharaoh lost his convictions, forgot his promises, and remained that hardened creature that he was. So it goes with so many poor creatures. I've known this through my life. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen the minister come to the bedside and speak to someone and come back and say, I believe there's something going on in that person. He has let out something that I'm sure must be from God. And that person was restored, and he became the self-same creature that he was before. There was no new heart, there was no grace, there was no new birth, and man remains what he is. So it was with Pharaoh. Pharaoh entreated Moses to entreat God for him. He didn't go alone himself. He didn't get on his knees and say, Oh God, I've sinned against thee. Good God, you spared me through all these plagues. Nothing of the kind. Hardened yet even under what God even did in a way which should have humbled him. It did not humble him. I wish you to take particular notice of Moses. You know this storm was coming down. This hail was coming down. There was fire running on the ground. And it was thundering something awful. And Moses, he was told to entreat God for Pharaoh. We read distinctly that Moses went outside of the house, because this was in the house of Pharaoh. They were inside. They were afraid of the storm. Moses went outside. He went outside of the city. Not only for privacy to pray, but he went out in faith. He knew that every hailstorm was marked by God and that not one of them could touch him. That's a remarkable thing. Who would dare go out in a big hailstorm like I've been talking about? But Moses did. And he went out and he prayed. He opened his hands unto God in a gesture as if he would receive it, and prayed that God would take this terrible storm away. And God in heaven heard Moses and answered him. It's wonderful when you think, just like you read of Elijah, his prayer opened heaven and his prayer closed heaven. So it was with Moses. What access this man had at the throne of grace, interceding even for this hard-hearted Pharaoh, that teaches us another lesson. No matter who they may be, what they may be to us, and how they might be living, and how hard-hearted they may be, Moses teaches us the lesson to pray to God for them, for we never know what God might do. It's a hard thing to do. When we don't have much hope of anybody, and we do a lot of times don't have much hope of people, when we look at their lives and what they're doing and how they live, we forget about them. We forget about them at the throne of grace, too. And this is what we learn here, that Moses entreated God even for Pharaoh. For God had even said to him that he would harden his heart and he would remain that way to the end. And still Moses prays to God. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to have prayer given unto us for sinners who are steeped in sin. It's a remarkable thing that often God's children have some person bound upon their soul, and they have to pray for that person, and that person doesn't know a thing about it, and that person is going on in sin and living in sin. But that praying soul is looking and waiting to see whether God has answered its supplications. I believe that many a parent has sent up such supplications for some of their children who have left their home in anger and wrath and went and lived for themselves and lived for the world. But the mother or the father, they were bound at the throne of grace for them. And probably the parents died. But that God who hears and answers prayer in due time came down and arrested that person and brought it to its feet, supplicating for mercy and grace. Oh, what a mercy if we are given to do this in this life. Oh, the Bible teaches us that we should love one another and pray for one another. May God give us this grace of love and prayer for each other, and may we find access and nearness to him in all our ways, in all our troubles, in all our tribulations. He is a God that is ever near us, ever willing to help us. So this concludes our lesson for today. That's all.